Please join me in prayer. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our strength and our redeemer. Amen. Are you tired of hearing who's running for president in 2016? We still have a year and a half to go, so I try not to pay too much attention. But it's hard to avoid the constant reports about who's doing what and what everybody thinks about it. Anyone who wishes to be President of the United States of America spends at least a year or two raising money, currying favor, polishing their image, and promoting themselves, all the while being picked apart and scrutinized from all sides in a glorified popularity contest. Is there a better way to choose a leader? In the early church, the first leaders were hand-picked by Jesus. He saw who he wanted, and he called them, 12 men to follow him and be his disciples. But after Jesus was crucified and rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, they needed one more disciple because Judas had betrayed Jesus and dropped out of the picture. Not that they had to have 12 disciples, but the disciples may have believed they needed 12 to represent the 12 tribes of Israel as they prepared for God's coming kingdom. So in the book of Acts that Takeshi read from this morning, while the whole group was praying together, Peter stood up and called for a replacement, and Matthias was chosen by lot. No fundraising, no glossy resumes, campaign mailings, or debates, no surveys to see who was most popular. Now, casting lots to choose a leader may seem random or superstitious to us today, but there were some conditions. They were looking for someone who had been following Jesus from the beginning. The person would have had to be an eyewitness and experienced everything, not just the highlights and high points and miracles, but all of Jesus' comings and goings over the last 3 years. And there may have been more than two people who fit that qualification, including some women out of the 120 people gathered that day. But somehow they narrowed it down to two for the final draw. And when you think about it, many positions are filled by lottery even today. The jury selection process begins with a lottery. Some public schools admit students based on a lottery. Green cards are awarded by lottery. Whenever there are more people qualified than there are slots available, a lottery system is probably the most fair way to choose. It's actually more democratic than an election because everyone has an equal chance of being chosen, regardless of their power or wealth or the bias of those choosing. Should we use a lottery system to choose our pastors, deacons, and elders from among qualified candidates? How would you feel if someone put your name in such a lottery? What if you were chosen that way? Would you feel God was calling you? In the Bible, leadership was never based on a person's accomplishments or resume or popularity. God calls whoever will do what God wants, and sometimes the most unlikely people are chosen. For example, Judas. Jesus called Judas to follow him as part of the original 12 disciples, as Takeshi read from Peter's words from Acts this morning. He said, "For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in the ministry." Judas was called by God, and he had a part to play and a share in the ministry. He held the money purse, so he could be called the treasurer of the group. That was an important role. Judas was part of the inner circle, the group that worked most closely with Jesus. But not all calls work out. Judas ended up conspiring with the chief priests, who were looking for a chance to rest and kill Jesus. They offered Judas money, and when the opportunity came, Judas led them to Jesus so they could arrest him. Why would someone who was part of Jesus' inner circle do something like that? And did Jesus know Judas would betray him when he called him? It wasn't obvious to the other disciples that Judas was drifting from his call. When Jesus told the disciples that one of them would betray him, it says they asked each other which one of them it could be who would do this. They didn't automatically think of Judas. Each was afraid that it might be himself. Some people say Jesus called Judas because it was part of a predetermined plan for Judas to betray him. Jesus had to be killed in order to fulfill God's will, and therefore God needed Judas to betray Jesus. But I don't believe God works that way. People are not simply pawns who fill a script where everything has been decided in advance. God gives us free will, and the decisions we make and the actions we take make a difference. Jesus may have known that someone would eventually betray him, but he may not have known who it would be when he called his disciples. The point is, Jesus calls people, and each call is worthwhile while it lasts, even if the call does not work out in the end. We are all God has to work with, and whatever we contribute counts. Judas was numbered among the disciples, and he did have a share in Jesus' ministry. He did a terrible thing, but the other disciples weren't perfect either. Remember how Jesus had to rebuke Peter, saying, "Get behind me, Satan," when Peter tried to convince Jesus that he wouldn't have to suffer? Peter also fell asleep in the garden after Jesus had begged them to stay awake, and he denied Jesus 3 times, after pledging vehemently that he would never desert him. Both Peter and Judas were sinners. The difference was, Peter's sins were out in the open. He never tried to keep them a secret. Judas, on the other hand, didn't know or confess or repent until the damage was done, and then it was too late. Peter made lots of mistakes and committed sins, but he was able to admit his wrong, repent, and receive forgiveness. And that's all God asks of us. None of us are really worthy enough to serve or to lead others. But God can use us to do great things when we're honest and open about who we are. Now, the story of Matthias's call is not exactly the most famous or inspiring story in the Bible. In fact, many people wouldn't even list it as a call from God. When you think of God calling people, who do you think of in the Bible? Maybe Moses and the burning bush, or the boy Samuel who heard a voice calling in the night, or Mary's visit from an angel, or Paul's falling to the ground in a flash of blinding light. We may even think of Jesus' call at his baptism with the heavens opening and the voice coming through. Matthias didn't get any dramatic displays of flashing light or a booming voice. Instead, he got a meeting of human beings, a boring human meeting. But that's probably more like our own experience than not. People today sometimes do hear a voice or have a vision, but most of us are called through more ordinary means. Many of you were chosen for leadership because someone told you they thought you'd be good at it. You didn't volunteer. You just planned to be an anonymous part of the group, looking for some inspiration as you tried to make sense of your life. But before you managed to get it together, someone invited you to serve on a committee or to serve as a deacon or an elder. Sometimes before we found the space in our lives to volunteer, we're drafted. Our lot comes up, and we take our turn at leadership. People don't always realize how much they're needed, or they lack the confidence to think that God might use them. They need to hear the voice of the church in order to hear and respond to God's call. But just because someone thinks he or she is called to do something doesn't also mean it's true. Most of us need to test our call in a community. That's why in the Presbyterian system, we never ordain someone to be a pastor until they find a place where they can serve. You may think God has called you to be a pastor, but if no one wants you to be their pastor, or there's nothing out there for you to do, maybe God has something else in mind. I worked in a church once with an elder who was always getting big ideas of what the church should be and do. We should expand this program, or rent this space at a higher rate, or try this or that. And at one point, he even started a campaign to tear the church building down in order to make more money. But few of his ideas ever were met with enthusiasm from anyone else from the congregation. It took us a while to figure out that most of these schemes did not come from the Spirit, but from this man's own need to feel important. Just because someone volunteers does not mean that God has called them. Matthias did not volunteer, as far as we know, but he was called through the voice of the community with the help of a lottery. Some people say that since we never hear about him again, it must have been a mistake to choose him, and that Paul really should have been the 12th disciple. After all, Paul was a great thinker who traveled all over the known world and wrote letters that are now the foundation of our Christian theology today. But you have to make headlines in order to have a legitimate call. The point is not to call attention to ourselves or to be remembered 2,000 years later. The point is to witness to Jesus Christ, to pass on the good news of the gospel to the next generation, and to build up the community of faith. And God needs all kinds of people to do that. Everyone who calls him or herself a Christian has a role to play in passing on the message. You don't need to wait for a voice from heaven to start studying the Bible and learn the story of Jesus' life so you can know what you're talking about. You don't have to wait for the appearance of an angel to share your faith with your family or to invite a neighbor to church. You don't need to wait for a flashing light to sign up to teach Sunday school or visit the sick or stand up for justice. Maybe God's call comes through the voice of a nominating committee, but it can also come when we notice a need or hear a request or think a thought. You don't have to polish your image or promote yourself or wait to be elected. God calls all of us to do our part. And so may we serve with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love to the glory of God. Amen.